listening.
That was a visual pun for the show. But hey, hi, you're listening to another episode of the Shop Talk Show. Shop Maniacs, thanks for tuning in. I'm Dave Rupert. With me is Chris Coyer. Chris, who do we got in the studio?
I admit it took me till the second revolution that you were making a carousel joke.
Yeah. oh, that's good. We're talking about a revolution in web design.
Wow. Wow. I'm not even going to go there. Adam Argyle, friend of the show, back in the helm, on the show with 60 minutes notice. Thanks, Adam.
Of course. That's how you know it's a hot topic.
Yeah, hot topic indeed.
It's also your fault for putting a demo out on like a Tuesday or releasing features on a Tuesday.
Yeah. It doesn't have your name on it, but I assume you worked on it. The carousel configurator. It's at one of my favorite URLs, chrome.dev, which it looks like kind of unfortunately you've implied some CSS to. Remember, it was just like a UL for a long
UL
time.
UL of LIs, yeah. I mean, it's hardly better than that right now, let's be honest.
I know, but I'm against it. Put it back. Revert.
Yeah.
We liked the wiki links. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's okay. Chrome.dev. And then you just click on the carousel configurator thing. And it takes you to this page that you should open in Canary if you're going to do it anytime in the next, I don't know, little while, I guess. Because otherwise, it is just going to show you a big warning that says you're using a browser that doesn't support these features. But Canary has shipped at the moment all of the features necessary for this to work. So what it is, you know, if I can actually, you know what? I'm going to share my screen. Sorry, audio only listeners. Pop over to YouTube if you want to. We'll of course make this audio friendly as well, but I figure it's worth sharing the look of this thing, if only for the three of us to be looking at the same thing.
Yeah, the configurator is a really good place to start because you can be like, "What the wheezy heezy is going on here?" And then you're like, "Oh, buttons, scroll buttons. Is that it? Oh, that's so innocent. Oh, some buttons on my scroller. Oh, okay."
Yeah. Well, I had emotions almost looking at this. One is that it's amazing. Two is that you're using that cool font with the baked in syntax highlighting, which I will never stop talking about because Font Foundry has picked this up and actually made more fonts on it. And I feel like it's necessary and get on it, Font Foundries. You're
totally
leaving
agree.
Money on the table. Another one is what the hell? Because it's not like part of what you might be thinking is like, oh, CSS has evolved. There's new features in CSS. And with these new features in CSS, it has unlocked some possibilities that we can do. That's the normal thing that you see with these kind of demos is like, look, you know, anchor positioning dropped. Now you can do X, Y, and Z. This is similar to that, except for the new features are like just for this. Kind of. They're like, what do we need to add to CSS so that we can make carousels and not involve JavaScript? Oh, we need these like 3, 4, 5 things or whatever. Okay, here they are now. You know, but it's not quite like that because it's maybe that's a little unfair, but that's what I looked when I first, you turn all the things on in the configurator and you look at the CSS that it generates below and before we get to that, I guess, like, look at this. I'm clicking buttons and it's moving 3 items on the carousel smoothly to the next 3 items. There are those little dots below carousels, which just let you jump to a specific page of items in that. Like, this is mind-blowing stuff. This is something that you'd have to pick up a lot. I wrote a library on CSS Tricks back in the day called the Anything Slider. There was a big pile of JavaScript that would make this kind of thing happen. To see this in a browser with literally zero JavaScript is really amazing. I mean, that's going to be good for the world, especially knowing that there was attention paid to the accessibility, of course, of all this the entire way. So not only that, is it's probably better than the original one that I wrote because not only for speed reasons and ergonomics reasons and semantic reasons, but accessibility reasons as well. And that is all very incredible. Then you scroll down and look at some of this stuff and you're like, okay, scroll snapping. Sure. That's amazing. But we've had that. So we've gotten that lesson. Cool. Scroll snapping is great. But literally all the rest of it is like, what the heck is that? Scroll marker group interactivity inert scroll button as a pseudo element. None of that stuff. This isn't stuff that's like, oh, yeah, we knew that was coming. You know, Now, if you smash it all together, you get a carousel. It looks like stuff that was like, oh, we're doing this with the intention of, could the internet please start doing it this way instead of using a pile of JavaScript for carousels? They seem like almost like carousel specific features. Okay, I'm done talking. Hi, Adam. How's it going? How did I do there?
This awesome. You recapped so many of the things. I think a way to take the conversation next is carousel is just like the easiest way to digest the stuff at first. But yeah, once we get into the gallery, once we talk about what the actual features are, you're like, oh, these really, they only can come together to make a carousel. But in their own individual realities, they're just scroll affordances. That's why they're on the overscroll spec. There's not a CSS carousel spec. There's Overflow 5. And in Overflow 5, we're like, hey, there's now the ability to generate buttons that scroll the scroller, 85% of the scroller. You know, they page through the thing. You're like, oh, that sounds very nice. Because right now my scroll bar has two little arrows on it and they just dink the scroller, right? They're like, nudge.
Yeah.
And you're like,
one pixel at a time.
One pixel at a time, which actually is kind of funny. Scroll Snap doesn't know the difference between one pixel move and a 100 pixel move. So when you nudge it and you have snapping mandatory, it always goes to the next item, which is the same way that your keyboard does. If you focus a scroller, hit right on your arrow keys, you nudge into the next item. So then these scroll buttons are just added affordances that are like, I can style these buttons now. I can put them where I want. They can match my design system. And I can enhance a scroller to have this new affordance of a paging mechanism. Or if you add scroll snap stop to each item,
it can itemize. Are we talking about these two?
Scroll buttons. Yeah. So scroll buttons page the scroller, or they move item by item if you've got scroll snap stop always on each item, which will stop the scroller from the ability to pass it.
So scroll buttons, if I'm imagining it in audio form, is the two big left-right buttons on your scroller, right? Like the go a whole page, go back, go forward.
It used to be in browsers, they'd be up here on the scroll bar. And for whatever reason, in Canary or my OS or something, I don't have the little buttons anymore.
Yeah, your OS has omitted them. Windows tends to have them. Like I bet if Dave shared, he'd have the new Fluent scroll bars, which do look nice and have a nice hybrid kind of, they have arrows.
So if you could imagine, we used to have little arrows up here and now we've just plucked them off and we put them over here instead.
Yeah, in a way. You can style them. Yeah, and there's a little difference. Yeah, and that the other one's nudged and these ones page. These ones operate a lot like page up or page down on your keyboard. We don't have an affordance for home or end, but you should be able to focus a scroller and hit those buttons as you always have. So,
okay, and how do they know how far to scroll? Is it, what's the like?
Oh, yeah.
It's 85% of the scroll port, and the scroll port is helpful in this scenario because you don't want to go a full page generally because then you might lose where you came from. It might be disorienting to arrive in a completely new set of items unless it's intentional, like you see in the auto page to demo there where they're like grouped very visually and logically, and then you shift in full pages. Oh, but if you've just got a long list of 20 items, you want to still see a little bit of the last item as you go into the new page for orientation purposes. So that's why the default
this is teaching 85. Me, oh, there's more stuff. I should click it. There should be a button for scroll shadows here, I think.
That's going to be in my CSS day talk. Get ready for that one.
We'll be there. Both me and Adam will be there, by the way, in Amsterdam coming up. So that'll be fun.
Yes, I'm excited for that. That's going to be good stuff.
What I like about this is when Scroll Snap came out, I think it was in like IE first, right? Or something like that, but then got improved.
Yeah, it's Windows 8 had it all over their design language. Yep.
And then got improved or whatever, I think by Chrome after that. But, or maybe Safari adopted it first, I forget. What is cool about, we all snapped the demo. Oh no.
The configurator is very good at destroying Chrome for some reason. So yeah, find those bugs.
But you know, when you build out your first horizontal scroller, right, with scroll snap points, it's a dream. You're like, wow, this is awesome. I can just like scroll and it'll autofocus and you know, it's like, Or auto snap, I guess, and it feels this. It's like what you want, but then you show that to your boss or your design team, and then they're like, "Cool, but we'd like to add buttons," and you're like, "Ah, great," you know. And then you know, you spend all this effort to add all these buttons with, you know, focus and, you know, go in the right pagination amount and things
right
like that.
Right to left, making right sure they left. Operate backwards.
Yep. Yeah, and they don't go like negative 2,000 pixels or whatever, right? Like you're making sure it's all smart, right? And you spend all this money and time to do that. And then, you know, they're like, yeah, but what about these little dots? You know, we need the dots. And you're like, oh no, that's harder, you know, because now I need to know what page I'm on actually, you know? I like that this kind of took all the considerations and built in these common patterns and pave these cow paths. You know, it's been a while since we've had a very high level feature like this, I feel like, that kind of took the modern UX into account, you know. It's impressive.
So. Thanks. We did years of studies. We looked at all the libraries, all the capabilities that any of them listed. I have documents and documents of all the things that people expect to get out of a carousel. And we did. We found things that could be packaged together into carousels, but individually stood still because it's the web. These mm-hmm. things need to interop across other scenarios. So just having scroll buttons is nice because there's a lot of people that have long lists of stuff with just a couple arrows in the top right. And these are also good for scroll hinting, right? Because if you think about scroll hinting as a way to, like you were mentioning shadows, which provide a hint to a user, you can scroll this direction. Yeah. The buttons do the same thing, and now they're disabled or not based on whether they can function
so
as a scroller.
They're automatically disabled. Like this,
they're automatically disabled at the edges, yeah.
Yeah. I was fascinated because they're all styled nicely in this demo, but they really do produce a – this was almost weird to me. They produce like what a angle bracket button angle bracket would be in HTML. Like that's your base styling is just a button. That's just so strange to me to see a pseudo element that produces a browser standard – button. And then, you know, the fact that you can style them is apparent. I mean, everybody will probably, but that's what you get. You just get a regular old
button. Yeah, it's classic web where it's like the defaults are not very desirable. Ugh.
Yeah.
But hey,
well, I mean, something's comforting about this to know that that's what you get. To me, it is anyway.
Yeah, you're like, I'm familiar with hacking that button up. I know how to make those pretty. Here I go. Roll up sleeves, write CSS.
Right.
Yeah.
And is there any... like you've positioned them very carefully here with position fixed to make sure they don't scroll along with it and stuff. Yeah. Oh, and even anchoring. Yeah, that's very nice. But like, where do they go normally? Do they just, I don't know.
Excellent question. So yes, you can use grid. I have other demos that create grid areas and place them with grid.
Look at that. I turned off your anchor positioning and now they're just gone. Oh no, they're not gone. They're just sitting down
They're not
here.
Gone. They're siblings. So yeah. So when you create a carousel, like in this case, it's a UL with some LIs. The UL, you can attach buttons to the UL, and then you and those become siblings. So they're not children, which is very critical because you also got to think about focus
they're
order.
They're not children. They look like children.
No. They look like children in DevTools because that's where we think people are going to go looking for pseudo elements, but they are actually siblings.
But really, they're out here.
Yeah, and so that'll be really apparent when you use CSS Grid, for example. Grid can place each of those because they're siblings. So you create a grid area. You got two buttons on each side. You got your scroller in the middle.
But this thing has to be the grid. But in your case, you don't even need grid because you're just they're just position fixed.
Because anchoring is so nice. It's like, hey, be on the right in the middle. You know, be on the left in the middle.
What's the anchor, though? You're anchoring it to the ident carousel, which is set where?
Yeah, right there on the base.
Oh, it's right there. Oh, it's just the whole daddy. Oh.
The whole thing. Yep.
So you kind of get, that's fascinating. Like, they look like you could just position absolute them inside of here. Or, yeah. But you can't because they're not really children. Confusing, but
it is. You'd have to have another container if you wanted to sort of like use position relative and put them in there.
It's fascinating to me that Anchor solves this. Okay, there's this classic thing. I think I've even talked to you about it, Adam, on a bus one time where I was like, when you use position fixed, you can't really tell it what parent, you know, it's like always just the viewport or whatever. And I always thought that was silly. You know, like, why can't this UL be the relative or be the positioning context for position fixed? And you're like, I don't know. It just can't be. It's just not a thing. But it can be now when it's with anchor positioning unlocks that. Oh, that rules.
It's really nice for this, too. And I even have it's on my blog, I think, where I have the arrows automatically shifted to be the inside in the middle. If the carousel reaches the full width of the viewport, and then the buttons go back to the outside of the carousel, if there's space, and that's using container queries that are looking at the container width versus the viewport width, and making a decision about whether to position them inside
or outside. Doing some math on that or something?
Doing some math. Yeah, so you can do calc inside of your container query. It's one of the wildest things I've written.
Like 10 VW minus 5 like CQW?
It's 100 VW minus 100 CQI minus the size of the buttons to see if there's any leftover or whatever. And then I use that to flip a Boolean or something.
That's in use here?
No, it's not in this demo, but it's in almost all the ones in the gallery.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I could see what you mean. Oh, mixing viewport units with container units is definitely mind-bending. Figma. Good luck.
Yeah. Figma container. Infinite canvas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every value just infinity? Resolves to infinity. Yeah, that's hilarious. One of the thoughts is like that you just, that this is, I mean, I know you didn't build anything carousel specific, but these features work so well for a carousel that of how off the rails, like the tabs in the browser decision went to the point where we basically got nothing, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, what are tabs? And you're like, I don't know, dude. They're obviously these things, you know?
It's right? The paper like that we used to have in school.
And then it goes, like this, and then that's the active tab. And then, you know, the discussion just went off the rails. They're like, no, but what if tabs meant this other thing instead? And then there's like 90 definitions of tabs, and then nobody ever did
if
anything.
If you showed that image to Brian Cardell would say, that is not tabs. That is web tabs, but those are not traditional real tabs.
And he's got a point, but it also means that nothing ever got done. So how do you want to do it? You know,
did you ever use the old Mac OS that was a tab interface, like the education version in school? No, I'm dating myself. Okay. Like OS 7 or something, it used to have this education version that was like file folders basically. Maybe I'm hallucinating. Oh no, I'm AI. I'm hallucinating.
was it like the cards? What was that app?
Like HyperCard? It was maybe built with HyperCard. It was probably like an app that ran for students just so you couldn't like hack everything. But anyway, this used to be this old, you know, file foldery OS. So that was a tangent.
A little bit, but I liked it.
It's good, dude.
We covered the buttons, which are these two things on either side. These are inside. There's no new CSS feature powering the cards themselves. That's just whatever. Display flex, right? And some cards with some shadows on them or whatever. But, you know, you have to make sure that they overflow. Otherwise, what's the point of a carousel? So, but that's sitting there. Great. How'd you hide the scroll bar? Does it just automatically hide when you put scroll button on or something, or no?
It does not. In a lot of my demos, I kept the scroll bars. So this one, I must have intentionally got rid of. But that's just scroll bar width, none. So now there's a standard way to get rid of scroll bars, one liner.
But if you put it back, then it's there. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. And I like, honestly, leaving it because I'm like, all I'm doing is adding affordances for interacting to content that's kind of hidden, right? Like, I want you to find it. So here's some buttons to hint that this is scrollable. Here's the scroll bar. You know, grab it, whip it around. Like, I don't care. I do have scroll snap points, so it's resting.
You probably should have it there in this case. Although once you have dot navigation, then it's maybe too much. So let's do dot navigation. I mean, maybe not. But having three ways to scroll one carousel also feels like a little, maybe even more, because tabbing, does arrows work? Oh, they kind of work.
All your keyboards work. Yeah.
It kind of works. I mean, you'd have to hit
they nudge
it a lot
a scroller.
Of times.
Yeah, your arrows nudge a scroller. You could tab again down into the buttons, though.
Oh, that works too. Oh, my gosh.
Now use your arrows inside of there. So then you get this
that's
larger
incredible.
View, and they don't nudge. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, I'm hitting the tab and shift tab to go back and forward, and it all follows along.
Oh, man, that story gets even better, too. We'll get to when we get to inert. But yeah, okay. Let's chat. What other questions you got for dots?
That's interesting. Well, dots is, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, well, so we get these two pseudos, scroll button star, I'm seeing in the CSS, and scroll button right, scroll button left. It looks like you're using inline start, inline end, right?
Those are the two we just talked about, right? Those are these guys.
So I guess we just need to know, like, those are in there. And then you're using arrow back, but that's like a... That's
because
font.
Of this font is all right.
That's a variable font. That's a variable icon font that uses ligatures. So when I write the word arrow_forward, it's replaced by the symbol. It's a ligature. And then I put the accessible text there. So /next. And that's why screen readers, and you can see it in the accessibility man view.
I hate to say it, but it's actually kind of a good use case for for an icon font.
For an icon font, yeah. I found it pretty handy.
Are icon fonts back? Is this kind of what your big statement here? Is this sort of a...
No, I just found them easier to change colors in a light and a dark theme. You know, like if I was going to use an SVG element, I'd probably have to supply two because we don't have linked parameters yet. Yeah, there's passing parameters into that remote resources.
But this could be SVG. You could just use a background SVG here or something. That'd be fun.
Yeah, you could mask it to get the colors and kind of do some clever stuff that way.
Yeah, yep. I always like that technique where if you have a SVG image that you're using in CSS, you don't have to use it as just the content. You can also use it as the mask.
Oh, interesting.
Like you're saying, and then the background color behind it is a lot easier to change.
Well, then you get gradients, right? You can have a gradient icon and... Yeah.
Okay. So just that, then that's kind of just a standard pseudo element. I'm at like a before after, but it's like, I can just mess
this
with it.
This is getting turned into
If the content is non-empty, just like a pseudo element before and after, poof, they appear, right? And then you get all these abilities to style them. Yep.
Interesting. Okay, cool. And then dots, same thing? Or
same thing with dots. Yeah. So you select each of the LI items. You know, it turns out CSS is really good at crawling the HTML and finding all the things. And then, so yeah, you're just like, hey, for each LI, make a marker. And it goes poof.
Whoa.
Okay. So you don't need that, but that's helping you put them where you want them to be. But really, this is making them appear?
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about a few things. When you create the buttons are put in the proper focus order so that when you tab into the scroll area, the buttons take focus first, and the buttons that you visually see are focused first. So that's one of the benefits of having the CSS managed is you don't have to ask developers to put the things in the focus order in the DOM. The browser can manage this and then create expectations for users. So as they start to see buttons on scrollers, they know their first tab stop is the buttons. The tab stops after that. So then what you're seeing there with the scroll marker group, and you see it specifying before or after.
Yeah.
That's telling, hey, are you going to visually put the dots above the carousel or under the scroller? Because if you put the dots under the scroller, you should do after. That way, the browser will generate them after, and the tab order will follow how you're visually structuring them. So you're going to focus into buttons, the scroller, and then the dots after. And then the scroll marker group, you need to style it, right? You need to size the dots. You need to display them somehow. And so I just used grid. I'm like, here, grid auto 20 columns automatically flow to the right. You know,
right. Even though you don't even have 20, but now you can grow. Right.
Now, yeah, it's infinite. It's just like automatically generate a column for however many LIs show up in there. So you do need both. So one contains them all.
Yeah.
And you specify before or after visually. So that way it's in the proper focus.
Oh, this is where you're saying after or before. You have to say that's.
You have
unusual.
To say that. So you have to say that. That creates the marker group that then all the markers get put inside. And this is your opportunity to present them, style them. And then the interactivity and the statefulness is all taken care of by the browser.
What happened? Oh, it's still being placed after because of the CSS applied.
So, but if you tab focus, it would become...
It's going to hit there first.
Earlier.
Right. Yep. So if I tab, yeah, I go there before I come to the buttons this time.
Right.
Very interesting. Look at DevTools wanted me to capitalize it too. So now I will capitalize it forever. Look at after. You have to yell it.
all properties should be capitalized. I'm into this.
Also, check the DevTools too for the LIs because you'll see the scroll marker group in there, and then you'll see all the, if you do the accessibility man, hit accessibility man there, which is now on by default.
Man.
Look at, it's a tab list. So you can see as you get down into the buttons, no worries.
I gotta flip them on.
So it's announced as a tab list?
It's announced as a tab list of tabs, and that's why your arrows move it through. It's very
like
much like
radio
a radio
buttons.
Group.
Yeah.
Yes, it's, so literally there's always one selected. You move through it with the same way that you would attach. So it's kind of like the tab strip or the tabs that Cardell would talk about are generated for you based on these markers, which is kind of what they were doing all along, right? All tabs were a pointer to a section.
Mm. Did we accidentally make tabs? If you made one of these carousel items.
Oh, I made tabs examples. Yeah, they're in the gallery.
Oh, that's wonderful. if instead of showing three and a half of these or whatever it is, you could show one. And not animate the difference between them.
And not animate the difference, exactly. So it goes instantly. Yeah, you can put text inside that scroll marker. So that's where we did content empty and we turned them into dots. That's just a visual thing. You could put text in there.
I always found that would be one of the trickiest things about tabs is that the expectation is that arrow keys change tabs. Yeah. You know, and that's.
And they're cyclical. So if you get to the end and you hit left again, it goes back to the other side type of deal.
Yeah. Wow. Look at you. You're all over this. And I noticed there's a, what do you call that? When it's, when you click, you don't get focus, but when you tab, you do get focus.
Focus visible. Yeah. Focus I'm big visible. On that. I like that one. Yep.
That's pretty cool. Okay. So we got these markers that are, that's kind of amazing
stuff.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's actually.
And you just get as many as, how does it know how many? Based on how much content
there is. So we selected every LI. So that's kind of the thing. You don't have to make them for every LI. That's, I have an example in the gallery that's a TV series. And I have season one, season two.
Oh, this selector is saying all LIs.
Yep, all LIs. Yep. So if you limit that selector somehow, you only get markers what you ask for.
What? So if we did like nth child odd, we'll just get half the number of them?
Exactly.
How do I mess with it?
Yep. Literally, you'd get one third of them. And so that's kind of cool with the TV series example, because you think about like 10 episodes per series, but the markers are just season titles. So you have season one, season two. If I click season two, it takes me to the beginning of the, so it's a list of 20 items. When I click season two, it takes me to item number 11. When I click season one, it takes me to item number one. So I'm conditionally generating markers. I'm generating markers with text content. So then when they're focused, they can be read to. And I even have one with images, like a product e-commerce thing. And when you focus in the tab list, I've surfaced the alt text as the value of the marker. So if you're on a screen reader and you focus into the
as the value of the dots, through the AETTR
the dots describe
function?
The images. Yeah, through the attribute function.
Oh my God. That one is worth clicking over to. Where do I find that one?
So if you scroll up just a hair, it'll say the word gallery.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, open that in a new tab. And then in the left, go to product. Oh, there's so many amazing things in here. So here you go. There it is.
Doing this? My gosh.
That's a long
time.
All right,
so each one of these has
the tab list, the scroll marker tab.
Yeah, do accessibility, man.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. That's so when the tabs are named the alt text from the images. Oh my gosh, that's wild.
Yeah, you can see it on the right there. I've got content as a space.
You're using Adder for that then?
I am using Adder. You don't have to, but I did.
Yeah, right here. Oh, that's the slash function of content makes it the accessible name.
The accessibility name, yeah.
You could even put the text down here if you really wanted to.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's on the images also, so I could caption them if I wanted to, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on the images here. That's amazing.
Isn't that cool? So yeah, you get to swipe through that. The images automatically update their focus state. You can click an image. You can use your keyboard. The whole nine is here. It's like...
So does this one still have the swiping and stuff like that? Or like...
It does, yeah.
It does. So, I'm just on desktop, so I can't do it here.
But that's kind of... I don't know. You know, it's always kind of these like single pane image thumb swipers, you know? That's kind of cool. You know, because if I'm making a carousel... I'm not doing the touch events, you know?
Yeah, lots of people don't.
Yeah. Yep. And this just seems to get it, right?
So. Yeah, and you kind of talk yourself out of it because you're like, look, I put the little buttons here. Like, what do you want from me? Click the button, you know? Yeah.
Get your pinky out and tap the tiny
button. Don't
like
you have a
normal
handy?
Human being. Yeah,
where's your stylus? Jeepers. Yeah. Okay. So we did the buttons that go on the sides, and you only get two of those, right? But that's fair enough.
No.
Oh, no.
Go back to the gallery. Go to the bottom of the list and hit the bidirectional. So that keep scrolling that down. Bidi. Hit that bidi grid.
Mm.
Dude, you can put buttons on all sides, and they're all stateful, man.
Oh, okay. So you get
how you
four.
Do that?
Oh, you just do button right, scroll button right, scroll button up, scroll button down, scroll button left, or inline and block. You can use the logical variants if you like as well.
That's wild. Look at this. You made a little pill box here for the thing.
Yeah, I make markers for all of them, and the browser is just doing stuff. I don't even know what it's doing. I'm like, here's four buttons and markers for each of them. I'm like, and go. And then also I have scroll state queries on that one. That's what's highlighting them blue. So you can see what the browser is snapping to on X and Y. And sometimes they're not the same, which is fun.
Yeah, a little scale and a little color change and stuff.
Yeah, a little scale,
people,
a little color.
Audio people, we're looking at like a grid, like a whatever, like a checkerboard kind of grid, two dimensional, and there's buttons on all four sides of it. So I can be swiping, but I'm on desktop here, so I'm using the buttons, and it's jumping to particular cards in a two dimensional grid, which is very interesting. But it is you get two buttons per direction, which would make sense, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. So that's scroll buttons. Then we talked about dot navigation. That's a little mind-blowing that you just get as many of these as you as you ask for, kind of. It almost seems to me like it would be.
Yeah, hit that TV series demo in the gallery.
Hit the TV one, yeah.
Yeah, this, I think it's just really good example because a lot of people are going to think of dots per item. And I'm like, no, you can just label.
I was thinking of it as per page. Like I can see three, so a button would take me to the next three. But that's not quite what it is.
Okay, right? So if you want to do per pages, let's go back to the configurator and hit that next switch. So what he's doing, everyone, is there's like four switches on this configurator where you kind of like turn on and off features to learn what they are.
Yeah.
The third one here is called auto pages. And he was just talking about
pages. How
the heck
does that work?
We enhanced CSS columns.
Yeah, the colon column there on the...
That is what's doing that?
Sort of. Okay, so just above there, you see columns one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's establishing I want, this is regular CSS columns. So this is also notice block size is at 10 line height. So I'm setting the max height of my carousel to 10. This is going to cause fragmentation in the carousel logic. As items need to go down, it says, I don't go down. I fragment to the right. It's creating columns to the right in a very traditional, think of like ESPN layout. Like,
this is just lying then. I mean, that's the default, but there are more than one column.
Yeah. The new thing is the colon column there that allows you to select the fragments that were made. And in there, I'm telling them to be snappable. So I'm not snapping on the cards. I'm snapping on the columns generated dynamically by the browser. Now, here's the kicker, Chris. In the bottom right, grab that little resize handle in the carousel.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And resize that puppy. Oh, look at that. The dots are dynamically changing.
They're just auto columns. You didn't have to say auto. They just are auto.
They're just auto. So no matter what size this is at, this is like a JavaScript thing that was like way hard to do before is create these pages. You had to measure and compute.
You had to measure on every click and every resize and reset it all.
God bless you if they weren't a fixed size.
So now you're applying the scroll marker to the column.
Yeah, and you can see that in the scroll markers demo there. Yep. So colon, 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 scroll marker.
So you only get as many dots as there are columns.
Yeah.
So even that's new. That's new that's new. Colon, column is new and colon, colon, scroll marker is new. Oh, my gosh.
And we're working on column layout to do vertical and also offering the columns
for
it,
too. So what else would you use colon? Okay. Oh,
yeah,
vertical
what else would you
columns.
Use column for? I'm not really sure. Yeah, so right now the column pseudo element cannot be styled very much. It can only be given a very small limited set of things like snapping.
If I did three CSS columns, could I like paint the middle one, give it a background or something? Like
I don't know. I didn't try painting the columns.
Background.
It reminds me of
wheat.
Call span or whatever. Yeah, is that what I'm talking about? You know what? You can select a vertical row of things in a table.
Oh yeah,
maybe I could use for that.
I don't know if you can style a column. So someone's got to try it. Go make a column layout, do colon, colon, column, and try styling it.
Make sure you use Canary, though. I'm sure.
I'm assuming no, but you know, maybe it's there.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, that's
some
a wild
nice
card.
Editorial layout.
I said, oh, there's three new things. Oh my God, there's endless new things in here. Oh my gosh. So auto pages is clever. It's auto pages, but it's not like it's not like a. I don't know. It feels like a. An extension of some weird stuff to get auto pages. It's not like auto pages true. It's like
that is true. It's not like we have some cool, you know, repeat min max auto fit auto column auto
no,
bot
no,
give
no.
me column
it's
thing.
Just
you know, it's
like,
not like a grid. Yeah,
but your web component could. I'm right. Like this is a primitive, so like we can build around it and build a user friendly version, right?
Yeah. The first version of this, to be clear, was called Grid Flow, which did allow you, similar to what we're doing with columns, to do it with grid. You could sort of like select, right? You're like, hey, grid, auto column the content. And then you're like, oh, crap, I actually need to select the second one and do something to it. And be like, sorry, you can't do that.
Because it's an auto column. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that Grid Flow concept, which still might become something, was made easier with columns. So we took a traditional thing that was already fragmenting. But yeah.
I have a question. What if these are not uniform column or uniform items? Like, what if my card is a fat guy and he's twice the width or whatever? Does it auto figure that out? Is that just like
scroll
snap? It does.
Yeah, and snap is really smart about things that are too big for the scroll area too.
Yeah. I made people listening at home. I tried to take the middle card and make it really, really narrow, but it didn't
love
it.
That could be me. I don't think that's the column layout's fault. I think it's mine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. I'm just, you don't expect a demo to be resilient to any dev tools messing around I want to do at any time.
I guess our content can be kind of non-uniform in here too. Like that's a possibility.
I believe so, okay. Yeah. I don't think it knows or cares because it used to do it with paragraphs, right? Paragraphs weren't uniform.
Yeah.
Sized.
Yeah. And what, so target current, I know target and I know aria current. What's target current?
Yeah, target current is the current thing the browser is deciding is, and it isn't snapped, it's the current focused item of the scroller, which has markers. So like a radio group, one is always selected.
The tongue, man. Okay.
I know, like I'm trying to think of like a nice way to describe that. Like with scroll snap, it's easy because it's the item that's snapped. You know, straight
it's
up.
Snapped, yeah. But
if you don't have scroll snap and you're just floating through a scroller, something is technically still like the target of the items. Mm-hmm. And that's because, yeah, these dots are like radios. They must have a selected item. And this represents whatever that is in the browser's state.
And if you don't supply that, does it just, they all They're look just, gray?
They whatever. All look gray. Yeah, okay. None of them look active. And so that's your hook to...
Oh, that's too bad. There's no default styling at all?
There's no default styling at all. Yeah, although they are default links. So if you didn't style these things, you put text in them, they are links.
Really?
They are like an A. So the scroll buttons are buttons, and the markers are anchors, mm-hmm. But they are to an accessibility tool, a tab list.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an implicit tab list relationship. So the tab list is implicitly connected to the carousel of which it was made for.
Wild.
Interesting.
I'd vote that they should have some kind of default styling for the active one, at least. But what would you do? I guess you're so... It's so
yeah.
Yeah, it'd be hard to pick a proper style because it's like, who knows what people are going to do with
this. This is cool, though. But so your active button... You could chuck in like a lightning bolt or whatever you want in there just to make it feel more active or
yep.
Yeah. Wow. Y'all thought of everything.
We did.
Could I go not target current?
Yes. Yeah. Do the focus by demotion. Yeah, dude.
I'm not active.
Perfect.
That's really nice styling.
Listen to Chris's giggle of joy. I love it.
Dev tools just smoking here.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So those are scroll marker group. That's maybe the weirdest of them all so far.
Yeah, they get dumped into a thing that's a sibling and you can style it. Yeah.
The column
and
stuff
auto
is weird.
Pages is crazy column stuff. And then, so let's do inert just to make sure that we do it. This one seems extra amazing. What I'm thinking before we start is that, look, for the people at home, you're all probably in your car. Let's face it.
For the people not in their house, avoiding their
audio
family.
Only.
On a walk.
I'm looking at our beautiful carousel, and I'm going to turn on auto pages just because. I'm looking at 3 items on the carousel, but I know there's like 12 or whatever. I know just from being a web developer that 4 through 12 are just content on the page. They could be filled with all kinds of crap. There could be buttons and links and all kinds of things in there that are interactive. And so I don't know offhand, should I, even though I can't see them right now, should I be able to tab to a link that says Dave's website on card number 7? Should I be able to hit my tab key and get to that link? And I actually don't know what the correct answer is. I'm actually tempted to say yes, but I think inert is going to help the answer be no. You know, unless I'm looking at card 7, then I should be able to tab to it. So I guess with this means I can have it either way. I can have it which way I want it to be, right? But let's say I flip inert on. Why would I flip it on? What's good about flipping this to on and thus producing the CSS that, oh my gosh. I opened a can of worms here. I'm looking at keyframes all of a sudden that deal
scroll
with the
animation, nice.
The interactivity. I was almost expecting to see something like, I don't know, dot caris or like card :: off screen interactivity inert.
So this,
or something
this is just turning on interactivity, the new CSS property, inert to interactivity auto when it's in the viewport. Is that what that's doing?
Yes. If it is 20% in the scroll port, it becomes auto interactive, which is full interactivity opacity 1. If it's outside of it by 20% or more, it'll fade out and also not be tab focusable by a keyboard.
Each individual item, as long as it's more than 20% visible?
That's what I have it at. Yeah, and you can see it in certain demos where like a little bit of the card is in, but you can't quite see the title of the card or know what's in it, so you can't tab focus it. But you could tab focus to the one next to it, hit right on your keyboard, scrolls the scroller in, boom, and now those become interactive as soon as they're in the scroll port.
So is this the same thing as putting the inert keyword on the HTML element?
It is very similar, but it is not the same. And this is, okay, so here, y'all, we've entered the spice. This is this is the part of the presentation where everyone's like, hey, cool, buttons and markers, that actually kind of makes a lot of sense. And then other people are like, you've said inert, and now we must ask many questions and be very timid or whatever it is. What this is, so inert for everybody is a very strong binary document attribute. You put it somewhere in the on your page in HTML through JavaScript usually, and anything inside of it is immediately not in the screen reader's view, and the sighted user could see it, but they can't click it, and a keyboard user can't focus any of that stuff. So you're basically like taking something that and you're saying you don't need this right now, focus over here. It's almost like focus by demotion. You've demoted everything so that the user can now only interact with like a dialogue, for example. It's really great when, and it's very old school in my opinion, because it's like the alert. If you did window.alert, that inerts the entire page. You have to interact with the alert, and until you have everything is not interactive. So
wow, again, it's a little different. The CSS one overrides the HTML one, but I guess we'd expect that because we expect attributes in HTML to be relatively weak.
Well, this is part of the spice, is some people say the document inert that has an attribute should never be able to be undone. But the whole point of CSS inert is to be able to punch inert holes or to have inert donut scoping. Because as a developer, I'm smart enough to, at least I'm well-intentioned enough here, that I want users to be able to fly over. I know, hey, the first one was a little stretchy there.
Maybe
the second one I could accept.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's like I'm well-intentioned. I want users to be able to fly over the list. If there's 100 movie titles in there, you shouldn't have to tab through 100 titles to get underneath that list. So to create the flyover scenario, I just say if you're off-screen items, then don't be focusable from tab.
Yeah.
It's a lot like a book. When you open up a book, it's got 300 pages in it, but you left a couple of markers in there and you want to flip open right to the good stuff.
Yeah.
And then you can carousel back the book or forward in the book. You can use chapter markers to navigate the whole book quickly, for example. Mm-hmm. But what we're doing is making the experience to a sighted user, because they can't see those items, and the keyboard user who can't see them either, and they can still reach them. It's not like these are unreachable. It's just that in their state of their view, you can't focus them. So we're limiting focus scope in order to aid you navigating this large corpus. Anyway, I've talked a whole bunch, but CSS inert is also different in that it can uninert itself.
It can uninert, just like visibility or things like that.
Just like display known, it's inheritable. So yeah, that's the key word here, is it's an inheritable property, which means it can be uninherited or can be reversed by a child. But yeah, you've opened up two of the big things. One is, should CSS be able to change the HTML inertness, or should that one remain strong and binary? And then the second piece is should this even be able to punch holes in general or be donut scoped?
Are you
should
allowed
we be able
to
weigh to
in on it or not because you're too close?
I feel like we lost the battle with hidden, right? Like, because I can go hidden display block. Like,
yeah, we know that hidden is weak. And that's like, but it's, I don't think there's any other counter examples like SVG attributes. If you put fill equals brown on a path, it's brown until anything at all overrides it. It's weak. It's a weak way to style. And if we all of a sudden start saying, oh, except for inert, inert's the strong one, I think that's BS. You know, like you need.
It's the strong one. It's not nervous. Is it? Oh, shit. Sorry.
Mom spaghetti.
That's I can't turn off that dad Disney brain. Holy cow.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
I dressed up as Louisa for Halloween a couple
did
of years
you really?
Ago.
Oh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
I really pulled it off. I have the chest for it, I think.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah. You got a good Louisa bod, man. I'll give that to you.
You can donut interactivity.
Yeah.
God, it feels like almost like the property name should have been inert, but
So then here's a critical case. Okay, so I want you to feel it out right now. Now you have inert on, so tab into the carousel.
I'm going to refresh
and tab over
as
the
I really
three
messed
items.
With it.
Okay, so look, in that example, I'm inerting just one item at a time, whereas the auto pages, we inerted off-screen pages. So I was just kind of demonstrating that there's two different ways here. Also, look at the styles are different. There's no longer keyframes in that example.
Oh, scroll. Okay, not if it's not snapped, then it is.
Oh, that's new.
Inert.
Yeah, that's the scroll state query. So this is containers being able to ask for, am I overflowing? Am I snapped or am I stuck? And so this one is asking who's snapped and
where's
who's not.
Where's that scroll bar? Can I bring that back for a minute? If I come, yeah, look at that. So there's one, whatever one is scroll snapped becomes the one that's, otherwise every single thing is inert. And like I said, this is confusing to me because I would think that if there's interactive stuff in these cards that sometimes you do want them to be able to be tabbed to, like that's not a crazy ask. I don't think.
And if you tab in to here and then hit left and right arrows, it does a lot of what you expect it to.
Oh, right. But that's...
And hit tab again. So you hit left and right and then hit tab and you refocus the focusable item. Yep. So you can fully navigate it. And this is where the dots come in nice.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so here's a good example.
So you go one to dots to back to...
And now
to,
you can click the dots. Okay, so you had to uninert CSS interactivity on those dots. It's actually clutch in this demo that it's inheritable because the marker is being made based on the card.
Mm.
The card is set to interactivity inert. The markers, therefore, inherit not being interactive, meaning you can't click the dots, which is ridiculous. You're like, wait, I want the card to be inert, but the dots should be interactive. And so you uninert that as the child of that card.
Oh,
you
that's
say,
funny.
I'm still
so
interactive.
Scroll marker is a child, but when we are talking about the scroll buttons, those aren't children.
Yes, or they're siblings also, but siblings still inherit from the thing that they're attached to. There's some weird behaviors with pseudo-elements.
So scroll marker is a sibling, but it somehow still inherits from this? Oh, that's...
Yeah, same with... I think that's how pseudo-elements work also. Also, pseudo-elements can query the container without being a child. So that's a fun fact there.
I guess you're right. They are siblings. Ugh. So I guess even though I'm reacting weirdly to it, we've been living with it for like 20 years. If before and after are siblings, not children... They just feel like children because you can position relative them in their parent context is their container. So like they kind of are children.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird.
Hmm.
All right. Well, this is amazing stuff. So inert, if we turn them all on, what we're getting inert with now is not a single one, but the in this case, I'm looking at four cards.
This is the full owl carousel.
The full-on carousel. Yep. there's four cards, and all of them are interactive. But all the ones that I can't see are all inert, and that's thanks to the scroll-driven animation timeline.
Yeah,
that is saying, oh, those aren't visible. So in that keyframe, I can say be interactivity. What is it? Interactivity inert?
Inert, yep. Okay, so go back to the carousel gallery and go to the virtualization
list. Even if I'm halfway in between, if I'm right there, those four are only...
Isn't that cool?
That's
weird. The liveness of the CSS keyframes with scroll-driven animation. It's, no JavaScript, right? No intersection observer junk.
No JavaScript.
Yeah.
It's funny that in this whole demo, there's never been a moment where you're like, well, but that one little thing actually does need JavaScript. There's none, right? There's none. If I even look in DevTools.
So hit the carousel gallery. Go to virtualization because then we'll really get into... People are going to be like, oh, well, JavaScript's needed for... And I'm like, nah.
Okay. Which one do you want me to look at?
Virtualization. So here's a thousand items.
List tree? Like you're lazy loading stuff? Or lazy rendering?
Let's describe it for audio.
Yeah. Okay. So this demo has 1,000 items in it. We're only seeing 4 of the 1,000 cards. And so right off the bat, if you tab focus into that, you're only going to tab to the 4, and then you'll tab over it. I call that a flyover, where you can tab in the visible items, and then you tab down to the bottom. And that's really nice, because that's 1,000 items.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to have to tab through 1,000 items before you got to these buttons below.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And so then each of these items has content visibility on them and contain intrinsic size, which tells the browser, lazy render these. If they're not in the viewport, just assume a placeholder size. That's what...
What's doing that? This is doing that? Content visibility?
Well, content visibility toggles the visibility based on... And then the other one is you have to pair it with contain intrinsic size. And contain intrinsic size is like defining a placeholder size so that when it's off screen, in order to not render it to save the work... It just makes a placeholder at the size that you define.
I see. Otherwise, the scrolling would be all jacked up, right? It'd be like 0 pixel wide.
Yeah, exactly. But you can see the scroll bar is there. I left it. It's a tiny little nubbin, but you can drag it and whip it. boom, look at the browser, keep up. He just scrolled to item 667 instantly.
Yeah. But only these four or five or whatever, or maybe a handful of others that accidentally caught a rendering frame.
Yep. And then the image is lazy loaded because they have the lazy, or they have the loading equals lazy attribute on them.
So that's nothing special. That's just loading lazy on the image itself, which is crucial here, right? Otherwise, if that was missing, 1,000 images would immediately be downloaded, right?
Totally. So yeah, and then the dots at the bottom, you can see them track along. They get made. I even put a scroll-driven animation on the dots. So head to item like 20, and you'll see the dots on the edge of the scroll marker group.
Oh my gosh.
Animate.
The grid is very wide. Wait, what is animating?
So scroll to like item 20 or so.
Okay.
Now see the dots at the left and the right side, how they scale in and out. So that has that scroll marker group is a scroll snap container telling Adam to snap in the center. And I have a scroll driven animation on that. So even those dots animate in and out.
So there's actually like a zillion dots in here. There's just a few of them because so scroll marker group probably has overflow X auto on it. So
yeah.
Does it even have a little tiny scroll bar on it?
I've hidden the scroll bar with scroll.
Where's scroll bar width? I don't see it.
Maybe down a little bit. Scroll down in the.
Yeah,
there it is. Yep.
So it's got its own little scroll bar.
It's got its own scroll bar. It's so
Your
cute.
Scroll bar
look, I'm even masking too.
Bar.
A little faded mask there at the edges. You know, just those little touches can help a lot.
Yeah, a tiny little mask. And then how did you select the outside too? Is there some selector that's like, give me the
that's
last
scroll
one?
Scroll driven animations
see.
Using the view function.
I see. In so that if it's barely part. Visible, then scale is
in that little
0.25
scroll part. In the little scrolly dots is its own little scroll port, and all the little dots that go in and out of the scroll port get scaled up and down.
Oh my gosh, see, that's absolutely ridiculous.
We are seriously. Deep now. We are real deep. No, this is cool. These demos are incredible, by the way. I instantly shared them with my coworkers. I was like, look, we can finally do it without hurting ourselves. The TV series one you have, here's a question I have. Like you're not breaking it up by columns. You're doing it by seasons. What if these seasons have, like, you know, when the writer's strike happens every few years, one season has 24 episodes and one season has like six? Like, can you do arbitrary lengths of columns here? Is that kind of what's going on? Or
so this one isn't using the column layout. This one's just looking at the first of a season. Look, you can even see there's a selector on them.
Oh,
so it's like in my template
star.
In my template renderer. So this is in Svelte. This is an Astro thing. So it's like I loop over all the episodes. I find the episode one, right? If the index is one, and I give it a special class, and then I only generate markers for those items with special classes.
Wow. Okay. And then the marker is like content season data season content. Or adder data.
Did you have to magic number position them? I bet you did. There's no way these participate on the same little grid.
Oh, they're in a marker group. So yeah, they're
scroll
in a
marker group.
Well, they do because they're really children of this weird pseudo element. So that thing can be display flex. And then, oh my God.
Yeah, I know. Isn't this cool?
I thought this would have an inset inline on it for sure.
Oh, there is a demo where I had to put two arrows next to each other in the top right. That one did require anchoring one to the top right. And then I anchored the other one to that
to itself.
To itself, basically. So it's like that way they stay together, but I have one as the control and one's attached to the other.
As somebody who's made his life out of CSS, there's more CSS in these demos than is in my whole brain.
Oh, man, there's a few transitions in here. There's a new property on this one, too. Look, it's called scroll initial target. Let's blow your mind a little more. And that's why when you load this page, notice when you load, you didn't see the page scroll to that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that episode is also the one that you most recently haven't seen, which is very typical when you go to, you're sitting on your couch and you're like, all right, I'm going to watch the next Severance. You're like, you better come up to the most recent episode because I don't want to scroll that list. Anyway, I have
Max
that here.
Max is the worst at that. I got to scroll like five pages to find recently watched. You're like,
recently watched. You're like, come on. So that scroll initial target property is set on the first unseen episode. And that tells the browser, start scroll at this item on first paint. So usually we have JavaScript does this, right?
Wow.
The page loads, JavaScript says, start scroll at this item to be a convenience for the user. And then the user sees it. There's a janky moment. but this is a CSS property. And if all the stars align, which means there's no target hash fragment, nothing that's affected the scroller, it will paint at that item on first render, which is really cool.
Scroll initial target not watched or something like that, right? Like that's...
Yeah, so my my selector is, I think I have a scene indicator. Yeah. And so it's the first one that's not seen gets this property given to it. Yep.
Where do you set scroll initial target? Is that on carousel then?
On the child that wants to be the target.
Is that why when I refresh this page, it goes to season two? Because I've seen all of season one already?
And it's season two, episode two, because you've already seen season two, episode one.
Wow.
And yeah, you can give multiple. So this spec has been also under development for a long, long time. But you can have multiple items that try to be the scroll target, and the browser has logic in it to smart about which one that it shows. But yeah, there's scroll initial target nearest.
And child one of has figure not seen. Just that selector alone, you need to go to college.
Yeah,
that's very special. What is one of meaning here?
That's where you do the nth of. So the nth of allows you to pre-filter, and that's the has figure not seen, and then it's one of those. So it's like one of the foot guns of nth child.
You're trying to only get one, because this would fail if there was...
I'm trying to get one of a pre-filtered set. Yeah.
So even if that's this was two, part. It would break it, because this is no longer a relevant thing, because it can only apply to one thing, right?
Yeah, although two would be that episode three, so that's still applying to that one.
Oh, because it'd be the third... Yeah,
It's the second unseen episode.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dude. Yeah.
Seriously, this is out of control.
You're asking a lot of math. see, as a member of the anti-math committee in CSS,
the amazing thing is this is already twice nested.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's not that it's that bad. I'm not crapping on it. Like I could reason it out. And it tends to be that when you're working on something, these selectors aren't as weird as they seem when you're just seeing somebody else's selector. You know, if you're the one applying the classes and making the HTML structure and something and scoping the styles, it's all very logical. It's just when you look in DevTools, you're like, what, bro?
So you go to that slider demo. You made like a whole ass PowerPoint, whatever, no big deal. You go to like a wizard. So this one's kind of interesting to me.
Yes, let's talk about wizard. Oh, thank you so much. Okay, yes.
Like this needs a nerd for sure. When I think forms.
Yes, it does.
Like, yeah.
And I understand how you're getting those numbers because you're using like a data, whatever, scroll marker, data, content.
I think it's counters, actually.
Counters?
Don't tell me you're using counters. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
That's genius, because counter can say, oh, there's three of them, so use the number three. Oh, that rules.
Super dynamic. Okay, cool.
Counters in markers, right? Yeah.
So I click next step. Some JavaScript's happening. What happens?
Nope.
You're using target or something to go to the next one?
So when you click the number, those are just scroll markers. So just like how it took you to card number two, this one just takes you to form number two.
I meant the button in the little card. I'll describe it for the audio. There's like a 1, 2, 3 with a little train track going in between them. The train track highlights, which that's probably a whole episode of Shop Talk. And then there's a...
It also shows the error state of the form. Type a wrong email in there.
And then there's a card. And then it has a form, and then, and Chris has some validation going. And then there's a little input, a submit button that says next step. And
yeah, when you click that, what's the what would we expect to happen? Oh. What's the form going to do?
Oh, the step turned red.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the steps
so
indicate
ridiculous.
A good. So once your form is good to, it'll highlight full blue. So you get to see the progress in the markers in a wizard that CSS is looking for validity in the form, and if there's invalid things,
so
it marks
saying
it.
You can't go to step two because step one is screwed up. I'd almost expect one to be red, but whatever. I'm sure you could do that too.
This was like a quick demo to show that I can use has to modify a marker state based on the state of a form, and then I can make all the other forms inert. So form two and three are inert while
you're
on one.
Has on the whole thing.
It has on the markers, I think.
Amazing.
And then your next step button is just an anchor to an ID, which is the ID of the next card in the carousel.
Yep.
And then it but it can't, that can't happen. How, I guess, how does that not happen if I have it wrong? I don't understand.
I don't prevent it if it's wrong. So like, okay, that would be maybe you could, I think you could actually look to see
inert.
Interactivity inert on the button. Sure.
If error form has invalid interactivity user invalid. Okay. Wow. Gross. But sure.
Well, how do you make a form go somewhere? Isn't it?
It's action. It's a form submit action.
Form that action could be step three too, couldn't it?
Maybe. There's definitely a lot of ways to make this. The goal of this was to show that CSS can control a multi-form step flow using scroll snap, using carousel features to create markers.
Yeah, like
those
that.
Markers indicate the state of the form they're representing. So it's like using, it's a, the power, really this is a demo of the power of has, mm-hmm. because has can look at any form element state anywhere in the page and then change something else's style on it, right?
It's the power of has.
The power of has. What can't it do? I don't know.
Okay, one more.
Smells like tabs. Open props to me too, isn't it?
Yeah, let's go to the tabs one.
Tabs, because I'm emotionally invested.
Okay.
I was expecting this to come up for sure. Yeah.
I didn't mean to make you.
No, well, you've got the tabs. The tabs are using tab scroll marker, right? And scroll marker is using some sort of attribute to populate its title. Correct. So far, correct. And then you're styling.
Attribute? Isn't there an ATTR?
I thought I made it ARIA title.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I have other ones that are using ARIA label. I should probably switch that demo to ARIA label from title.
But those are announcing in the screen reader as tab list, right? Or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, and then you have your, so when you click a tab, it's scrolling left and right like a scroller does. Awesome. If you
wouldn't have to, though, would
it? You could just do instant, right? Like you just take
scroll
the
behavior
motion.
None would make it instant. Instead, and I have it scroll behavior smooth. Yeah.
Okay. And then I guess one other thing, like tabs, sometimes you think like change the height, right? Like, so what do you do there? Like, how do you
in
change
this one,
height?
I made these scrollable so that if you're focused on the tab and then you hit tab, the keyboard key, you go into the scroller, which then you hit up and down arrows and you scroll the scroller.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you want, right? Some of us expect a tab to go to the next tab, but that's not how tabs are supposed to work. Tabs are supposed to work with the arrow key, right?
Yeah, you can tab in there and hit arrows.
And they absolutely do.
And then that's using interactivity inert on the non-focused tab section, like the scrollable areas. Those are inert because they're, you can't see them or whatever. You have to select the tab, which then activates the tab's contents.
Wow. So then to set a height or something, I'd have to measure and then like the scrollable area.
Yeah.
And
you could probably use a scroll driven animation. Scroll driven animation could look, that one might be a JavaScript one. Like the JavaScript tabs that like one of the only scroll driven animations that I've done that required JavaScript was the underline that changed the width based on which item was on. Although I think I could do it with anchor now and anchor size, but
Yeah,
you could do that with JavaScript here. Look at the heights. And then as it's shifting between the different tabs, it's animating the heights or whatever you want to do.
Interesting, yeah.
That's like a classic trick that you're like, that's so hard. That'd be amazing if we could do it. And then if you actually can do it, you're like, I don't actually need that.
Yeah, you might even be able to use interpolate size and then animate to height auto on there.
Yeah, no, because we have a little animating like highlight, you know, so it'd be kind of, this demo is
ridiculous. I love this. Yeah, this is so good.
It's not scroll-driven animations, though, sadly. We're looking at the HTML.review website. I think it's because they wanted it to work in all browsers, probably, but it just sets this, like, custom property to do the scrolling.
Cool. It's like you zoom through a hallway.
Still freaking rules.
Pretty cool.
Good job. Yeah.
This is really cool. I mean, okay, let's talk sad news. Let's finish on a bad note.
Yeah, there you go.
Browsers, right? This is cool. I guess like I get a horizontal scroll if no other browsers support it. And that's kind of cool, right? Or that mostly works.
Still a usable, scrollable area. The only thing they don't get is maybe the flyover and the affordances of buttons and the hints of dots. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there a DevTools button to make it behave like Safari? Just kidding. Probably not.
That's a pretty good compromise, right? Like for like, whatever, a $0 carousel, right?
Yeah.
Like that's a pretty good compromise. I guess like for these fancier ones, you're going to have maybe, I don't know, you'll have to choose something, but have other browsers kind of I assume they're interested in this if y'all are in Canary here about to flight, but like, are other browsers showing interest or is that...
Yeah, they've participated in a lot of these conversations. So the names of almost everything is shaped because of conversations in the CSS working group, conversations with folks at Apple.
I see. So if you were like me and you're like, where'd all this come from? I didn't hear anything about this. You're like, well, I can't control what you looked at for the last 2 years, but we've been talking about it. So
yeah, some of the stuff is like 4 years old. So some of the original like scroll markers, the original idea, I have it in a explainer repo from like 5 years ago. You know, interactivity inert has been one that's everyone is like on the thread right now going, what is good? How did you you're too quick. This is too fast. And we're like, it's well over a year ago. And we've had multiple breakout sessions in the working groups to talk about these things. So some people are looking at us like we're shipping quick. And we're like, y'all, we've been sitting on this. And if we do feel like we're shipping quick, we just did it with add function. We're like, hey, okay, look, that one was kind of quick. And me and Bramus agreed. And that one got reversed. It got sent back another few months of experimentation and exploration time. But Carousel isn't like that for us. This has been a very slow burn.
Is it a little bit like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, though, where they're going to bulldoze the Earth and they're like, we posted the sign on Venus and you didn't see it.
Thank goodness we don't do that. Oh, geez. No, I would be so upset if we actually did that. No, we follow all the processes. I will say we are very bad at one thing, though, which is we're bad at publishing our drafts. So a lot of these... specs, you'll be like, oh, they're shipping something that's in a draft spec. And it's like, yeah, well, you just didn't understand the 99 million other things we had to do before we can go ask for that via email. You know, like getting something turned into not a draft into a candidate rec is anyway. So we're bad at that. And I'll admit that. But yeah,
I'm a firm believer there's two types of people in the world, people who overreact way too early and people who overreact after it's out. And sometimes you got to make it look like it's already happening so that you get the feedback you need.
You know? The feedback. Yeah. This is classic on Twitter, right? You know, go throw the wrong thing out there and get everybody to jump in. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job with interactivity inert, or as I will dyslexia it, inert activity. Inert activity inert.
Well, wonderful. We're over time, but man, there's a lot to talk about with Carousel, and we didn't even get into item flow and all that. But yeah, could you imagine a masonry carousel?
Right? No. Making markers for each of the little items in there. Yeah, click a marker, scrolls you to the masonry item. 100%.
Oh my gosh.
Didn't even do the scroll spy. Oh man, you've got to look up the scroll spy one because this is on every blog. You've got your little table of contents on the side that should highlight. So scroll down to the vertical ones and hit scroll spy. It's called Dev's Choice, which really means it's like Adam's Choice. Scroll the scroller and watch those things highlight or click them, right? They're just markers to content, man.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. That's amazing. They can do that.
And yes. In the V2 of the spec, which is being prototyped and worked on now, you can bring your own links and you can bring your own buttons. So if you're wondering, Tailwind users, how do I style the scroll buttons if I'm on Tailwind? You're going to be able to put your own elements in the DOM and then use those. So we started with the CSS pseudo elements because the accessibility by default was better, but we will allow you to bring your own elements, your own table of contents, and work it that way. That's my favorite demo, by the way, but you know, that's me.
The wheel.
It's the vertical arcade. Dave was with me when I was playing a game and I was like, oh, I am inspired. I must build this.
Yeah. Was it the, Godspeed one or whatever that we were playing or?
So I think it's the motorcycle. UI? It's like a Black Emperor. Oh, it's Black Emperor.
Black
I think.
Emperor. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good game.
It's a good game.
The bouncy is just a ridiculous little touch to it, right? You must have used linear, right?
I did use linear. Yeah, and that's a scroll state query again. Oh, y'all, scroll state queries are really cool.
That's the piece I remember from like 5 years ago. You're like, it would be cool to know if something snapped, you know?
Snapped,
and I
right?
feel like
I
that
mean, come on.
Started this whole like multi-year discussion, right? Like kind of it like, did. Let's improve this whole dang thing.
Scrolling was my thing. I was like, we need scrolling to be more powerful. It's currently, and so that's what we're doing. Yeah. That's literally what we're doing. And then we're going to work on gestures and stuff later also.
Oh, cool.
This is so ridiculous. It turns out every demo that's ever been made is improved by...
Is a carousel? Dude, a book is a carousel. Seriously, open up a book. You're like, oh, crap. I just flip page by page. And then you have to ask yourself, hey, if a book is like this, how do people even know there's another page? You know, just like a carousel on a home site. How do I even know there's... You know, this is the problem with carousels is people can't discover the content. I'm like, man, people are flipping book pages. They know. We know.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Like, I don't know. your thumb is kind of the indicator.
There could be up to four affordances on these things. It could be this arrow. It could be the scroll bar. It could be this buttons, and it could be the shadow. There could be four things telling you there's more content here.
It could be a coach mark that flies over and think you're positioning now. And yeah. It goes, hey, remember to scroll here.
There could be a paragraph above it that says scroll the example below.
Oh, could be one of those wind tube guys. The wind tube guys. Is that the thing he's trying to show? You can scroll me. You can scroll me.
Yeah, listen.
That's good.
I've done some user tests with some pretty surprisingly oblivious people.
Yeah. Hey, Dave from the future here. We had some recording technical difficulties right at the end, but I think we got everything out. So anyway, apologize for that. But Adam just wanted to say you don't need to give him money. He's good. But please download Chrome Canary and try to get this, you know, go experiment with all these new attributes and pseudo elements and whatever. Like go play and make something cool. And so if you got like carousel ideas, please share it with him. So that's what he has to do. For us, standard, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Be sure to shard it up. That's how people find out about the show. Follow us on one of the good ones, Blue Sky, Mastodon, or join us in the Discord. That's where the party's at. So thank you very much. And Chris isn't here, but I'll do it. Shopdoctor.com.